Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 20. Hear now the word of God. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, Zechariah was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that the things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." The word of the Lord. You bow with me for prayer. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And just by way of explanation, I always bring Bob a copy. I'll be glad to bring you a copy if you request it. I usually try to write out my sermon in long form. I found myself looking at the 12-point font, which I can't read. 14-point. Okay. The computer is just a wonderful thing. Okay, just by way of review, Zechariah and Elizabeth are an older couple. They had yearned for a child, but it didn't come. This is how the story of the coming of Jesus begins, with longing, with yearning, with an empty place in the heart. And I've been telling you this Advent that the way to receive the gift of God in your life, either for the first time or in a fresh way, is not to bury that longing, but to uncover it and take it to the Lord. We long for the Christmas gifts of love and joy and peace and hope. We long for that sense of wide-eyed wonder that we had as children. We long to know that this Emmanuel, this with us God, is with us still. Now remember that Zechariah was a priest serving in the temple in Jerusalem, and one day it fell to him by lot to be the one to go not all the way into the innermost place, but to a place where only the priests could go. And he would go alone while the people prayed outside. And Luke tells us there was a multitude praying outside. And he went in where only the priest could go to light the incense, the smoke symbolic of the prayers of the people ascending. And it's easy to assume that They prayed their yearning. Zechariah prayed his longing. The people outside prayed their longing. They all prayed for God to redeem Israel. There was a great hunger that God would visit his people again, as you know, as in the stories of old that they heard about the Exodus and God speaking to Moses and the great miracles of Elijah and Elisha, that God would come and visit his people. Well, suddenly, as Zechariah is going about his chores, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and said, "Your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear a son, and you'll name him John. And he will prepare a people ready for the coming of the Lord." And Zechariah said, "How can this be? I'm an old man, and my wife is an old woman." And that's where we left off last week. Now, surely we can't assume that when they were young and first married, Zechariah and Elizabeth dreamed of having children and a family. But as the years passed, they settled in and they took all of their old longings for a child and buried those longings in a secret place in their hearts. And just like you and me, because I think we all do that at some point in life, whatever it is we've been longing for, just like us, they found ways of dealing with their disappointed hopes. It's easy to imagine Zechariah just throwing himself into his duties as a priest. Maybe he had hobbies on the side that he undertook. Easy to imagine Elizabeth doing her motherhood thing by spending time with nieces and nephews and neighborhood kids. She had her own duties as the wife of a priest that she could throw herself into. Maybe she took harp lessons, signed up for hot yoga. Who would do that, by the way? I see a few of you are admitting to it. God bless you. Okay. We tell ourselves that when we don't get what we want in life, the thing to do is just soldier on and keep our heads down and keep busy. Now, the Bible, of course, never promises that we get what we want in life. In fact, quite the opposite. The Bible would caution us that God owns the future and we don't. That just because I really want something, that doesn't mean it's what God wants for me. The future belongs to God alone. Instead, biblical hope tells us to live expectantly with our expectation and our hope in God, not in our plans. God can and will surprise the bejabbers out of you. To live with expectation is to have hope in God, hoping in the blessing that he has for you. Where we get into trouble is when we replace that biblical kind of hope with our expectations and plans. Now, I've got a question for you. We're going to think very short term here. What are your expectations for Christmas? It's only, 12 days away. How many days away is Christmas? Are you counting? I forgot to look at the calendar. Anyway, it's close. Any day now, I'm going to start shopping. So you know it's close. You know it's coming. There are some of us here that want a hippopotamus for Christmas. You know the song, don't you? "Oh, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas." I'm embarrassing my wife now. "Only a hippopotamus will do. Mom says a hippo would eat me up, but then teacher says a hippo is a vegetarian. No, I want a hippopotamus. In other words, you may want something and I may want something that's my plan, and it probably isn't going to happen. How many of us here are expecting that a certain relative is going to show up to Christmas having had a personality transplant this past year? It's not going to happen. I'll sing one more song, and then I'll stop. Biblical hope is not Jiminy Cricket kind of hope. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Everything your heart desires will come. Remember that? Fate is kind. It brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing, right? No, that's Walt Disney. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope focuses on God and trusting in God. And God will surprise the bejabbers out of you. But God is not in the business of fulfilling our plans and expectations. And when we get locked into our own plans and expectations, we can then become blinded to what God is actually doing. And if the angel Gabriel was actually to show up in your kitchen and say, I bring you good news, you'd say, how can this be? It's not my plan. So the angel told Zechariah that since he did not believe this good news, he would be rendered speechless until the child was born. And you think about it for a moment, that's rather fitting, because a priest who doesn't hope in God doesn't have much to say anyway. According to the Jewish Mishnah, it was the custom that when the priest emerged from burning the incense, is this being recorded? Can we rewind the tape? When the priest emerged from burning the incense, he would pronounce the great blessing of Aaron on the people. And it was read to you a minute ago, and you know it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and evermore. The people were expecting that blessing when Zechariah emerged. So when he didn't say anything, it would have been shocking and troubling. So for 9 months, Zechariah doesn't say a word. And I believe that God quieted him because his life hadn't spoken hope for a long time. You know, our lives speak, don't they? What is your life saying to the people around you? Does your life speak of disappointed expectations? Or does it speak of hope in God? Expectancy of what God will do, both in our lives and in our world. We are to be people of hope, both for our lives and for one another, for our church and for our world. Now, every adult knows that disappointed expectations will accumulate like old newspapers. And as disappointments pile up, we are tempted to get hardened and cynical. We can even become angry, and not at anyone in particular, just angry with the world because things didn't turn out the way we planned. Now, I'm not saying that everybody gets mean and cynical. But even at our best, we can just cover over those old longings and hopes that we used to have and soldier on. We go to work, we pay our bills, we keep our commitments. But beneath our resolve, those old longings are still there because God put them there. God put an empty place there that only He can fill and only He can satisfy. Now, this is what the Spirit of God has been asking us all along. Is the life that you're living the one that you really wanted? The one that you really hoped for? Isn't there something more in you, an underlying current of hope in you? Well, the message of the coming of Jesus Christ into the world is good news of great joy that can renew your hope. And if you truly hear the message of the coming of Jesus into the world, it's the kind of truth, when you hear it, just will take your breath away and leave you silent. And maybe Zechariah's punishment, or maybe Zechariah's silence, was not entirely punishment. In fact, I'm sure that it wasn't, because it was the judgment of God. And God's judgment is never just punishment. God's judgment is always redemptive, to cleanse us, to make new. So I think this sentence of silence was also a gift, because during those 9 months of involuntary silence, Zechariah was able to listen to what God was saying in the miracle that was growing in Elizabeth's womb. Just a few minutes ago, we sang, "Let all mortal flesh keep silence, as with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in His hand, Christ our God to earth descendeth." Our full homage to demand. Hearing the word of God requires our silence. Have you ever walked outside right after a snowstorm, or maybe right in the middle of the snowstorm, and marveled at the quiet? It is so peaceful. Or have you ever, and if you haven't, I invite you to do that, do this Christmas. Have you ever sat at the holiday table and just be quiet and let others do the talking, and people are talking and laughing and telling stories, and just listen for a minute. And in your silence, be reminded of how much these people mean to you. And be thankful. Silence. You know, there's an old legend that on the night that Jesus was born, the animals at the manger started talking. And I think that gets it completely backwards. I think that even if they could have talked, they wouldn't have, because they've got better sense than that. They were quiet. Mary was quiet. She just pondered all these things in her heart. Remember all that had happened. And in the entire New Testament, Joseph doesn't say a word. God has spoken once for all in the gift of His Son. The opening of the book of Hebrews says, in many and various ways God spoke of old by the prophets, but in these latter days He has spoken to us by His Son. But you won't hear if you insist on doing all the talking. So I want to challenge you, if you are not already doing so, this Advent season would be a really good time to begin the discipline of daily personal quiet time. Find a time in your day, in your house, quiet spot, turn off the TV, open your Bible, read. listen. Ask God to open your ears and open your heart to hear His voice. Ask Him to give you a heart of expectancy, a heart and a life waiting and watching on tiptoe for what God is going to do in your life and in our world. It's really interesting, the structure of Luke's gospel. He begins his gospel with Zechariah unable to bless the people. And it's striking that at the end of his gospel, Jesus raises his hands to bless the people, his disciples. Jesus does what we are unable to do. You and I can't speak blessing. Jesus does. He believes what we can't imagine. He saves when we are powerless to save. He breaks through our hardened hearts to give love and joy and peace and hope that only He can give. He is God's mighty response to every human longing. So remember, Christmas is not about our giving, it's about God giving, and it's about us receiving. And what God is giving us is Himself. And that's really who we were longing for all along. Would you bow with me? Oh God, forgive, forgive our noisiness. And give us ears to hear. Teach us to wait upon You in the quiet and listen for the still small voice. And we pray it in the precious name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen.